like for us to turn in the blue hymnals to the back to Lord's Day 37 and looking at the second part of not taking the Lord's name in vain, page 51, questions 101 and 102. So in connection with oaths, it says, but may we swear an oath in God's name if we do it reverently? Yes, when the government demands it or when necessity requires it, in order to maintain and promote truth and trustworthiness for God's glory and our neighbor's good. Such oaths are approved in God's word and were rightly used by the Old and the New Testament believers. May we swear by saints or other creatures? No. A legitimate oath means calling upon God as the one who knows my heart to witness to my truthfulness and to punish me if I swear falsely. No creature is worthy of such honor. And in connection with that, then, I'd like to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and reading verses 1 to 7. As you know, Ecclesiastes is part of the wisdom literature in the scriptures. And you would think that when we are entering God's house, that that would be the last thing that we need to be reminded of. That we need to be careful about what we say, how we act in God's presence, because that's exactly where we are, before the presence of God. But God, knowing our hearts, knowing what man is, gives to us a passage exactly about that. Chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few, for a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity. But fear for the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, as I said, we continue our reflections on the third commandment, which speaks about not taking the Lord's name in vain, and warning of dire consequences on those that do so. We are focused more on the direct taking of God's name in vain by cursing. But we continue to look at this commandment, for at times we can indirectly take the Lord's name in vain. This whole area of God's name is so important that the Catechism seeks to teach of other ways that must be avoided if we are to keep from dishonoring God's name. In the Catechism question and answer 99, we read that we can blaspheme and abuse the name of God by unnecessary oaths. And that's what we want to focus on today. When we, in fact, lie before God, he is dishonored. Lying is wrong in and of itself. And when we will come across that in the ninth command, but here, we are looking at lying from the perspective of our neighbor But here it is looked upon from the perspective of its relationship to God. So in the ninth commandment, we're lying against our neighbor, and the focus is the damage that we're doing to our neighbor. Here, lying and taking the Lord's name in vain, we're attacking God himself. We're undermining God himself. Because this is in the first table of the law, which is our relationship to God. We dishonor him when we act in this way. And so in our relationship to God, this issue is taken up, as well as the issue is taken up with respect to when we lie against our neighbors to do them harm. And so the question is, have you ever taken an oath? Or even as children. At times we might say, I swear to God that I will do so and so. I mean, it's such a flippant statement to make. That we're putting ourselves in jeopardy by calling God to witness that we're going to do such and such a thing. With the sure knowledge that if we don't do it, then we are liable then to judgment from God. I mean, how much must we trust ourselves to take that risk? When there are clear things that we ought not to do, we do them every day, we fall, we break God's commandments every day in one way or the other, and yet in this rash moment, we say, I swear to God, I promise to do this, as though everything is in our power. Nothing can change that. Rather like Peter. Oh, Lord, I'll never betray you. I mean, I'm willing to die for you. I mean, others may fall, but not me. You're so certain. And yet it wasn't that many hours before he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. Rashness and an overconfidence in ourselves. We know certainly as adults that in courts we are required to take an oath, to speak the truth, and nothing else but the truth. And then we say, so help me God. We place, at least before, place our hands on the Bible to emphasize that we're doing it before the Lord. And so we need, so certainly we need to do it at times, as the Catechism says, but how seriously we need to take it. And so this command teaches us various things about oaths. And certainly the first thing that we need to understand is that we need to refrain from unnecessary oaths. Not everything demands that we take an oath. Now that doesn't mean that when we don't take an oath, that somehow we can break that. It doesn't matter because we didn't take an oath. I mean, our yes ought to be yes, our no ought to be no. We're just as liable before God when we say something and we don't really mean it. We have no intention of carrying through with that, but we just say that. I mean, that is wrong. But it's a far greater sin when we call on God's name and place ourselves even more emphatically under him, and we do the same thing. I mean, it's wrong to lie generally. Just to give you an example, it's wrong to lie generally. But when we sit in court in that docket and we lie before the judge and before the people, there's a greater consequence that comes. Because there's a brashness about our lying in such a case. But the point here is, not everything has to be with an oath. And so when oaths are not necessary, we ought not to take them. We cheapen oaths when we do that. In fact, we cheapen the truth. In fact, we undermine ourselves because people think, why is he or she always taking an oath? Obviously, it must be because their yes cannot be trusted and their no cannot be trusted. And so they overcompensate. So we ought not to do that. And people did. And you remember one of the judges in the Old Testament did. Jephthah was his name. And God was using him to bring freedom for his people that were under bondage. And he wasn't the most popular person. He'd been driven out. And so when they were in trouble, they sent for him. And you can imagine how surprised he was. I mean, why are you calling me? You didn't like me before. You sent me out of your presence before. And now you're calling for me to help. But he did take that role on. And so God was going to deliver his people using him. And so he makes this rash vow to God. And he says, God, if you will give me victory, if you will do this thing through me, then when I return from the victory, I will sacrifice to you the first thing that comes out of my home. I mean, God didn't ask for an oath. But he made it in and of himself. Unnecessary. And a foolish one at that. I mean, if he wanted to show his gratitude to God and he wanted to give a gift to the temple, he could have done. But no, he goes out of his way to make this foolish and unnecessary oath. And if you read the story, you know what happened. God did give him the victory. And he did return home. But what met him when he came back was his daughter. And so he had to sacrifice his daughter. I mean, what a consequence of an unnecessary oath. Nobody asked him to do that. God didn't demand that of him. But he just made it rashly, as we've said, with respect to Ecclesiastes. Don't speak rashly. Hastily. Without thinking. If the Lord doesn't require of it of us, then we ought not to be engaging in it. As I said, Peter was another one in terms of promising things, as we alluded to, that he wasn't going to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what happens. Even if he has to die, he's not going to do it. It was a rash thing to say. I mean, no one's doubting his sincerity. No one's doubting the love that he had for the Lord. But the Lord had already said the shepherd is going to be struck and the sheep are going to be scattered. The Lord told him what's going to happen. But he wanted to cement his allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ beyond what he was able to do. And he regretted it. So the point that the Catechism is making that we should never take unnecessary oaths, for they needlessly endanger the name of God. When you take God's name and you say, oh, I'm going to do this, definitely going to, well, God's name is at stake too. And when we fail, we bring God's name down. Not only endanger ourselves, but in the minds of people, they question the very God that we worship. Yes, we can't control everything. And when we say yes, and we mean yes, and we're not able to make it a yes, people understand that. People understand that. Because they've no doubt done the same themselves. But what they can understand is you taking God's name and putting it at risk. As though it's an insignificant thing to do. We think so little of God's name, it's like we're gambling and we put God's name in the kitty. I mean, how much do we care about God's name? That we risk it Catechism saying we're not to do that. No, we're to refrain from unnecessary loss. And so often when we do take them, we damage the cause of truth. As I said, when they're not necessary and you say that yes or promise with an oath, then you're really communicating to the other person, you really can't trust my word for it. And so I'm going to take an oath. I'm going to bolster what I'm saying because somehow there's some weakness in there and I want to cover that weakness up. So you undermine yourself. I mean, why? What is this person trying to pull? Why is he trying to convince me so strenuously? Is there a doubt about his ability to do what he's saying? And so now he's trying to cover that over by taking an oath? No, people don't believe you more when you do that. They doubt you more. Because now they think that you're trying to convince them of something that you are not able to deliver on. No, people are weak and they don't have the future in their hands. And so we have to communicate that to people. That yes, we have every intention of doing such a thing and we'll make every effort that we can to bring about that thing. But we're not God. We don't have everything in our control. We can't promise it 100%, and they need to understand that. You need to understand. And so we let our yes be yes, and we let our no be no. And we assure them that we're not going to take it lightly. What we're saying, we're going to do everything in our power to do. And when we fail, we'll apologize. And if there are consequences for us, then we'll take those consequences. We won't try and wiggle out of it. No, we'll be true to our word. We don't need to take an oath when God does not require it of us. But let there be no mistake. God holds us responsible. When you make an oath, and you take God's name, when you've acted hastily, and when you've made an oath, when you were not asked to make the oath, it was not required of you to do that. God does not say, oh, well, it wasn't necessary, so forget it. No, no, no. When you speak those words, you will be held responsible. God didn't say to Jephthah, well, actually, you know, you didn't really have to make an oath, so let's just forget it. No, he lost his daughter. He never forgot that sinful a mistake that he made. It was with him all of his life. And Ecclesiastes says, you can't say things before God and then expect them to be set aside. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. And we cannot say to the messenger of God, oh, it was an error, as Ecclesiastes. No. There's no error about taking God's name and taking an oath by it. That's not something we do inadvertently. That's not something that we do without thinking. Is God so insignificant that we take his name and we forget about it and we take it so flippantly that we don't put any seriousness to it? And we expect God just to set it aside when we fail? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So think long and hard before we take such oaths so that we don't suffer the consequences as we have it here with respect to Jephthah and the warning that is given here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Let us not be hasty with our words and especially with our oaths because we are bound before God. and he will take them seriously. The other thing that the Catechism brings our attention to is refrain from artificial oaths. I mean, that says it all, doesn't it? Artificial oaths. And the Jews were experts in that. So they wanted the advantages of communicating to the person that they were speaking all seriousness about what they were saying and a commitment to it. But on the other hand, they wanted to cover themselves too. And knowing the commandment of God of not taking his name in vain, they substituted his name with something else. And the Lord Jesus Christ calls them up on it in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes, where they take oaths, but rather than endanger themselves, so obviously they knew this was a serious business, otherwise they would not have protected themselves by making these changes. And so instead of taking an oath with respect to, for example, heaven, they took it in terms of Jerusalem. You just bring it one step down, as though somehow that was okay. And that's what Jesus catches them on. He says in chapter 5 of Matthew, he says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth," because that's what they were doing. "We're not going to do it taking God's name, but we'll do it by appealing to heaven or appealing to earth." And so he said, "Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head." I swear on my life, people say. Right? So you're jeopardizing yourself because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no. And so it references also, of course, the issue of the Roman Catholics' error, which is taking oaths in the name of saints. So we're not going to do it in terms of God's name, but we'll do it in the name of Saint so-and-so, Saint so-and-so. Those are artificial oaths. And people use them the way that the Jews use them. So they wanted credibility, but they wanted to avoid danger from God. And so on the one hand, they feign this reverence to God, that they're not willing to speak his name because it's so holy and high and mighty that we don't want to take his name in that way, but we'll lie nevertheless. We'll fudge the truth nevertheless. So we'll take an oath in something less and not feel so bad when we break that oath. I mean, how convoluted and foolish can people be? That they think that God cannot see their hearts. That they think that God cannot perceive their evil designs. Just like the Pharisees. Oh, we want to keep God's law. We want to honor our parents. We want to help them. But they scheme in sheltering their money so that they don't have to help their parents by calling it set aside for the Lord, Korban. And so that's sheltered. We can't use that. Oh, we wanted to, but it's set aside for the Lord. So we're not going to use it to help you. I mean, what mindset must we have that we think God can't see through that? And so they did all of these tricks, even in oath-taking. Now, you can imagine that most people understood that. Enough people had been burnt by these artificial oaths not to give them any credibility whatsoever. As I've said, you bring down the credibility of truth when you take oaths and you don't keep them. And so when people hear you saying, oh, I swear by Jerusalem, I mean, I'm sure most people's eyes rolled in their heads. What do you think? What do you think I am? Foolish that I don't know what you're playing at? No, let's not try and fool people. Let's not lead people astray with our words and set up false standards, false gods, whether they be inanimate objects or whether they be people, or they may be even yourself. You're not your own. You belong, body and soul, to God Himself, whether you're a believer or not, but especially as a believer. As we've said before, we're not to ruin our bodies, we're not to damage our bodies in various ways, because it's in the image of God. So when you put your own life on the line, knowingly, and you're not going to keep your word, then again, you're insulting God, because you belong to Him, just as the heaven does, and earth does, and Jerusalem does, and the altar does, and everything about the temple belongs to God. So refrain from trying to bolster the truth by designs that we engage in. No, they encourage infidelity. They encourage people to lie. They encourage people to twist the truth. Oh, I never signed anything. I mean, they shake hands and they give their word. Oh, but I didn't sign. I mean, they know they're wrong. And their consequences if they admit to it. But because there's no paper trail, they think they can get away with it. Again, how foolish it is. No, we need, as the scriptures say, we need our yes to be yes and our no to be no. Whether we're on the street, whether we're with our neighbors sitting around the table, dividing something up between us, or whether we stand before God and we take oaths, either in terms of marriage, or as we become ministers or elders or deacons, we need to take seriously our allegiance to God and obedience to Him. In the common things of life, but also in areas where we are called to take vows. Finally, we're to submit to necessary oaths, for they promote justice and order. God takes oaths. I mean, why would God take an oath? Is God not trustworthy? Would we question God? We say, well, I don't know. I mean, you say that, but I can't trust it. You're going to have to be a little more emphatic about that. No, God is a God of truth. So why did God take an oath? He took an oath for our benefit. He took an oath for us to be certain, for us to have peace, for us to have an anchor. That's what we're told in Hebrews with respect to the promises of the covenant that God made to Abraham. God took an oath by His own name. I mean, there's no one greater than Himself. So He took an oath by His own name for the reason of communicating to Abraham a stability of his salvation. And so He says He made promises with an oath to Abraham so that they would be an anchor for the soul. We live in a world that is full of falsehoods, full of promises that are never kept. The devil is a master at that. He promises us everything in the world. He promises us success. He promises us that we will be like God. But He delivers on nothing. We're so full of disappointments in this world, not only from the devil himself, but his agents, people that he uses to do exactly that. And so there's an uncertainty that comes into our lives. We don't have that stability. And so God wants us to have that, though. But when we're so used to not having it and not trusting people, that God takes an oath. He condescends to our needs. And so he wants you to be sure. And though he's a trustworthy God that cannot lie, yet he bolsters his redemptive promises by taking an oath. He's committed to the gospel. From the beginning of the world, from eternity past, as he made that decree of election, he carried everything out. God did not shirk his responsibilities. When it came to actually paying for our salvation, God did not spare his only begotten Son. Talk about consequences of promises made. No, here were promises made and promises kept, even though it cost him everything. That's the example that God gives to us. And so when you and I, in relationship to others around us and society around us, though we might be upstanding people, though we might be people that keep our word, even when it costs us, nevertheless, there are situations and cases where it is right for us to take an oath. It is right for us to sign on the dotted line. It is right for us to put our hand on the Bible and say we will speak the truth and nothing but the truth for the sake of our society. And so we must not fall into that category of people that refuse to take vows and refuse to take oaths. We're not breaking God's word. We're simply following God's example, that for the edification and help and security of others around us, we want to put their mind at ease. Especially when there's legalities and great consequences involved, we want to put their mind at ease that we will commit ourselves to upholding that oath that we made and take on those responsibilities that we affix our name to for their sake, for their sake. And also, of course, for our sake, when we engage in relationships with others, whether it be in terms of marriage relationships. And that's why it's so foolish when people say, well, we love one another, so we're just going to live together. We don't have to get married. That's just a piece of paper. Really? Really? That's the way you want to do. You wouldn't do business like that in the world around us. We wouldn't want to jeopardize money by engaging in that. We want it to be firm. We want it inviting. We're not going to do a whole week or two or months work at your house and not have any contract to fall back on. So if we're not going to do that simply because of our concern for money, how in the world are you going to expose your life to someone without any assurances whatsoever? And people do. And they get hurt, very badly hurt. And they don't seem to listen. And so it's right and proper then that in certain areas we do take an oath. We do take vows. And we do take them seriously. And we do take them publicly so that others, not only God himself, but others, will be witnesses to the words that we have spoken and promises that we have made. People of God, this world that is full of sin, we need to help people in this regard. And oaths and contracts and promises that we have in the world are a reflection of that. Unbelievers have all of these things because they know that it helps. They know that it's necessary. And so do believers. So does God's word. So we're not to be rash in taking oaths. We're not to take oaths taking anything else in this world other than the name of God. Under whom we are in everything that we say, whether we affix an oath to it or not, we are responsible to Him. Every idle word will be brought to account. Every action that we do. We are to live before God in all honesty and sincerity. But when we take an oath, we better make sure that it's necessary and that we do everything in our power to be true to that oath. And if we cannot fulfill it, then we should not seek to escape, but we take the consequences. We ask for forgiveness so that we may honor God and the truth may indeed be established for our sakes and indeed for the society around us. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful that you guide us, even in this sinful world in which we live, to pursue the truth, to protect and preserve the truth, so that those around us may be kept from danger, from loss, from damage, even from us. And so, Father, we pray that indeed we might be the people of truth, for we worship the God of truth, the judge of all the earth, before whom we know that we will give an account for everything that we've said and thought and done. And so, Father, we pray that you would give us your wisdom, that we may not be rash, that we may not be hasty with our words, that we might be truthful and sincere. And our Father in heaven, that we may assure others of it by our actions and our trustworthiness. And when we do take your vows, we know that they are called for in very important relationships in this world, important for society. And so, Father, we pray that we may indeed take them seriously, that we might promote and protect good order. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would indeed bless us as we go forth into another week. We pray, our Father, that you would strengthen us and that you would lead us and use us as instruments of righteousness. For we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Blue Hymnals number 299 and stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4.